take out your Bibles and follow along. We want to consider a lesson, how to make a wise decision, how to make the right choice. I was telling the teenage class on Wednesday night when we were talking about things that this was a lesson that I had been working on, and I hope it'll be beneficial, especially to them, but not just to them, all of us, because we have many decisions to make in life. We have many choices to make. In our individual growth as a Christian, we've been talking over the last few weeks about how we need to add to our faith, need to increase our faith, grow in our faith. And we talked about whether our expectations of ourselves are high or low. What do we expect of ourselves? And in the process of living our daily life, we're going to make a lot of choices, and we're going to need to make the right choice. We're going to need to make wise decisions when it comes to navigating this life. To be pleasing to God as a Christian, that should be at the first and foremost of our mind, that we would want to make a wise decision and make the right choice. Because after all, what life is really about is about serving God, being faithful unto our death, that we might receive the crown of life, a crown of righteousness. It's what we hope for. It's what we anticipate. And so there are many important questions that are raised. And as we start the lesson, by way of introduction, I want to just kind of throw out some decisions that we make each and every day, thought questions that demand an answer that we really don't even probably much think about anymore, but they are important questions. And we may not even sometimes realize the importance of these questions. For example, and this again is just by way of setting up the lesson, what am I going to wear? That's a decision that we ask every day. What am I going to wear? It's a question that, though we ask it every day, it's one that demands an answer every day. What am I going to put on? And it may be that we don't give a whole lot of thought to that question. We just kind of reach in the wardrobe. And, of course, all of this decision in making a wise decision starts at the purchase of what clothing we are going to wear. Once it's in the wardrobe, then it's a matter of what am I going to grab and put on? Well, the decision started much earlier, didn't it? But what I want to do is to just kind of look at a couple of scriptures as we kind of set the overall thought up about making a wise decision. Is here's a question that's asked of us every day. And then when we turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we read a passage like this in verse 9 and 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Wait a minute. Let me get in the right place. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's about time to get new glasses. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." My lesson is not about modesty this morning. What I want to do is I want us to say, okay, here's a passage where God gives instruction about this question. What am I going to wear? And a woman is to dress herself in modest apparel, adorn herself in modest apparel. And the Bible verse it's a Bible verse, and it's one that must be understood, and it's one that has to be put into practice because it is the will of God. Everybody understand the point that I'm trying to make? And therefore, it is to be carried out by not only the male or the female, but also men are to also clothe themselves in modest apparel. He uses the woman in this passage, and he says, those that are professing godliness. So, what I want us to see with this idea of making a wise decision, this question, what am I going to wear, is a question that is governed by the Word of God. And therefore, to make a wise decision, to make the right choice, I'm going to have to consider what God has to say on this subject. If I'm going to make a wise choice, the right choice. Well, then there's the question. Well, what am I going to wear to the worship service? That's a question. What you made a decision, what you are going to wear. I want to ask a serious question, and it's not what my lesson's about, but it's a question nonetheless that we need to consider to make a wise decision. Is God present at the Sunday morning service? Is God present at our Sunday afternoon service? And the answer to that question is yes. Does that have any bearing on what I might wear when I come into the presence of God? My lesson's not on modesty. My lesson is on this idea of I have choices to make. I have decisions to make. God would have me to make wise decisions and make right choices. What about the important question of who's going to be my friends? That's an important one. Because we learn in scriptures that friends can influence us in a very, very deep way. They can influence us for good, or a friend can influence us for evil. So we understand, what does 1 Corinthians 15:33 say? Be not deceived. Everybody knows, everybody can usually spit out the rest of it. Evil companions corrupt good morals or manners, right? So who we draw into our companionship, our friendship, has influences upon us. And Paul's instruction to the church at Corinth is, don't let evil companions come into your influence, because what happens is it breaks you down. So when it comes to the question, who is going to be my friend? Who am I going to develop a relationship with? And I'm not talking about the 500 I have on Facebook that I never see and I never interact with. I'm talking about the people that come in and out of my life on a daily basis. Well, if we were to go to scriptures, we would find that David had a great friend in Jonathan. Jonathan was a great friend. These two were so close that we also learned that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. They had a deep endearment for one another, David and Jonathan. It was a great friendship, one that influenced David to do the right thing, one that influenced Jonathan to do the right thing. But you know, David also had a son. His name was Amnon. And Amnon had a friend over, and this is over in 2 Samuel chapter 13. He had a friend, and his friend, you know what his advice was? Because Amnon had fallen in love with his sister. I mean, he was love struck. His friend's advice was, get her alone. And you know what he did when he got her alone? You know, the Bible talks about rape. He raped her. He raped his own sister. Granted, it was a stepsister, a half-sister, but it was his kin, and he took advantage of her. In fact, what happened after he had used her that way, he hated her. He didn't want to have her anymore. And she begged him not to do it. And it started with a friend. You see, my circle of friends, and thus my circle of influence, sometimes, if you're young, you know how it begins? It begins with, who am I going to sit with at the lunch table? Wow. Hard to believe. Who am I going to let come into my circle of influence? And it can start with that simple decision. Where am I going to sit? And then that becomes those that influence us. You understand what I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to do here? We have decisions to make. Right choices to make. Make a wise decision. What about the important question, what am I going to watch or not watch on television? Or what am I going to listen to or not listen to? Sadly, I've known some that their whole approach to music, you know, they came out with ratings on music, or they come out with even rating on video games, is if it says mature and you can't just grab it off the shelf, that's the one I want. The filthiest and the raunchiest and the worst, and some of them are members of the church. There are choices to make when it comes to those kinds of questions. What am I going to watch? What am I going to listen to? What am I not going to listen to? You know, I can tell you, I've been preaching for 20-some years. I don't know how long VidAngel's been out now, ClearPlay's been out, TV Guardian's been out, but I have brought it to people's attention in meetings here, and nobody yet has come up to me and say, I want one of those, how do I get it? And I've told you up front, it's an investment, but it takes out the raunchy language. If you want to watch a movie, it's going to take all of the stuff out that you can tell it. I don't want to see it. You know what? It costs. It costs. to do that. But that's a choice, you see. And I bring that to our attention because there are ways. And you know what? Our culture does it. It attacks something like that and tries to put it out of business. And yet, one of the presidents passed the Family Act bill that says you have the right to have things filtered. So there's a company, it's called ClearPlay, that filters out stuff out of movies. You got to be patient. You can't go watch it in the theater. But it'll eventually come out, and you might be able to watch it. I've watched some stuff that I did not watch years ago that's very historical that now I've been able to watch for its historical benefit. And all of us sit around going, why did they have to put that in there? Why did they have to use that word? Why did they do that? What I'm trying to tell you is there are decisions that we make, choices we can make, and we can do this in a very mature and right way. So what about the parents? What about choices? Yeah, you have to make choices for your own children. That is what a parent means, your parenting. And you have to do what's best for your child. And we often focus in on the physical, but we have to make choices because they're children for them spiritually. And what happens is, and the reason we have to make decisions like that, is because their children, the maturity aspect. That's what parenting is. Children lack maturity. And therefore, you know what happens? Just like in your childhood, did you always make the right decision? Are there things that you wanted to do that your parents stopped you from doing that you look back and go, wow, I'm glad they had my back covered because I didn't see anything wrong with it. But they did. You see what I'm saying? And now you see, and you see things from a different perspective. Again, what I'm saying is that there are choices that I even have to make for my family, right choices, wise choices, and the parent has to choose. Now, what happens, of course, is that doesn't make you popular with your child. But we're not in a popularity contest as parents, are we? We have to make that disconnect. That's what being a parent is. You know, husbands have to do the same thing in the family as the head of the house. There has to be a disconnect from the emotion, from all of the things, and to say, this is the right thing to do, this is what we will do. As for me and my house, this is what we're going to do. My point is that we're not talking about just individual choices. We're talking about there are choices I make that affect even those in my family. But you know what? As a parent, we're not out to be their best friend. We're not called to be the best friend to our children. We're called to be parents and give parental guidance. And we could stop and we could look at all of the things. So what I want to do is, there's the introduction, and that is, how do I make a right decision? How do I make a right choice? How do I do this? Well, to do that, and we make these choices on a daily basis, I have to know the will of God. I have to know the will of God. That'll do two things. One, it'll help me make those decisions, but you know what? When you need to make a decision, you know what's going to come to mind? Scripture. Scriptures. You've been studying the Word of God. And you know how important this is look at John chapter 12 and verse 48. Listen to what Jesus said is going to judge us. John chapter 12 and verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. It's my words that's going to judge us. So here's what I want you to do. Picture judgment. You're at judgment. God is on his throne. And you're guilty of immodesty. You're guilty of having all this evil influences in your life. They've influenced you to do evil. Your life hasn't been as it should be, is what I'm trying to convey. The Bible is opened, and you're judged according to the things that are written. What would God have to do? Well, he'd say, turn over to 1 Timothy. Listen to what Paul told Timothy in this letter about modesty. Listen to what Paul told the church at Corinth. In other words, we do the same thing in the law. It's exactly what Barney Fife does on Andy Griffith. When he goes off and says, state ordinance 5, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 4, 5, that's what you violated. He is saying, this is the law, this is the rule. And he references the law. Stay off the grass. You can't ride on the sidewalk. One of my favorite ones. You can't ride your bike on the sidewalk. And he cites the ordinance, the city ordinance that says you can't do this in Mayberry. It's the same thing. You're going to be judged by the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. It's what's going to help us make the right decision, wise decisions, and we're going to consult the Word of God. Now, what happens too often is we get ourselves in a mess, and that's when all of a sudden we go to the Word of God. Really, so much of the Word of God is preventive maintenance. It's actually us knowing the Scripture so we can make the right decisions to not get into the deep, deep problems that cause so many of the horrible consequences in our life, which all of this revolves around sin and the disease that it creates and the problems it creates in our life. We have to make a right decision. That's why in Psalm 119, 105, we turn to this passage and we understand the beauty. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's made to light up the way. I have to know it. It needs to be something I can recall. And you know how often you've heard in your lifetime Jeremiah 10:23? You remember what Jeremiah 10:23? It says, it's not within man to do what? Direct his own footsteps. It's not within you to be able to determine the right way and set it. In other words, what it says is you have to have God's direction to show you the way. It's not within you to do this. Now, don't misunderstand, because what I'm talking about is within you, you have to be able to make the right decision. But God is the one who sets the way and sets the directions and makes the rules, makes the laws, makes the commands, because He's Creator. And I can't do that. It is God that has determined that murdering is wrong. Stealing is wrong. Adultery is wrong. All of these things. He's the one that says fornication is wrong. Immodesty is wrong. God has done that. Because it's not within us. Because you know what? Within man, you know what I'm going to do? Path of least resistance. That's the choice I'm going to make. I'm going to do whatever's easy, and I'm also going to do whatever I feel and think is right. Jeremiah said, it's not within you. Listen to what Joshua said, is said in Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Turn over there. Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What's he saying? Don't depart from what God tells you to do. How are you going to make a wise decision? You're going to look into the Word of God. We're going to be looking into the Word of God. We're going to be looking at the things that are taught. We're going to look at things that happened in the past. We'll look at this passage in just a moment that teaches that. But one thing is certain, no one in this audience, listen carefully, nobody in this audience can claim ignorance. Because you know what? You've got this right there in your hand. You've got the Word of God. And I have to tell you, it needs to be precious to you. You hold in your hand the will of God, the pattern to follow, the do's and the don'ts by example. There it is. Not everybody's blessed to have that. So you can make a wise decision. How? You go to the Word of God. Now, the second thing is you need to pray about it. When we open up our Bible and we turn to examples of someone that did inquire of the Lord's will, we also can turn and see where someone did not, which is our scripture reading. So be turning over to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. You might be thinking, well, why did he pick that passage? Well, look at 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and I think you'll understand why I chose this. We can turn in scriptures and see somebody that inquired of the Lord, and we can turn and see where somebody did not. Saul did not. That was the last part of the scripture reading there in verse 13 and 14. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness. which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance, but he did not inquire of the Lord, therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. My point is that he did not turn to God and ask God through the prophets that God had there where they could go to the prophet would petition God, God would give an answer. Now somebody like David, turn back to 1 Samuel, and in verse 23, this is one of the things that made David so different than Saul. And though David had sin in his life, and his sinfulness is poured out before us, we also see the good that David did. Look at verse 1 and 2 of chapter 23. Then they told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors. Therefore, David, what did he do? He inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and attack these Philistines?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah.'" What did David do that Saul did not do? David asked the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. Now, I want to make the point. We don't have audible answers from God today, do we? When we pray to God, we don't have a voice from heaven come and talk to us. But when we pray, when we petition God, then what we're doing is we're asking Him to help us, and through His providential means, looking into His Word, petitioning God about the decision that is in front of us, God is there to help us make those wise decisions. It is the power of being able to pray to our Father who is in heaven. Now, we need to be satisfied with what we learn in the Scriptures. And we need to be satisfied when we don't have things go the way we thought they should go. We need to look again, closer to what the Lord is, in fact, instructing us to do. But to make a good decision, turn over to James chapter 1. I'm thankful for this passage because although we don't have a prophet that we go to and say, ask God if I should move here or move there or take this job or not take that job, we do have the Word of God that establishes truth for us. But we also have this in James chapter 1. Verse 1 beginning, "James, a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it may be given to you. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." What's he saying? Well, you know what? It takes a lot of wisdom to navigate things in this life. Did you understand what James said you can do? You can petition your Father and ask for wisdom, that you make the right decision that is before you. If you're confronted and tested in your faith, you can ask God for the wisdom to do the right thing. I want you to turn back to Luke chapter 6, because I also want you to understand that the Scriptures have examples of this. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus prayed to His Father before His big decision. He had a huge decision to make, and I want you to notice what it says in verse 12. Luke 6, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." All night Jesus prayed. What was he praying about? "And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles." All night he prayed because he had to choose his apostles. Those who he's going... You know what? Jesus was... He's sending these men out into the world. They would have their head cut off. They'd be thrown in prison. They'd give their life for him. Some might say he was committing them to a physical death. Would that not be an agonizing decision? What did Jesus do? He prayed. The important point to make is when we need to make the right choice, we need to make a wise decision, we need to petition God. We need to look. We don't need to cry after we've made the wrong decisions, which is when for sure we're going to hit our knees because we got ourselves in a mess. We need to be praying before and seeking wisdom, looking into the Word of God. And when we look into the Word of God, we will find an answer to our question. Will you find the specific answer where to live? You know what you'll find? You'll find guiding principles to help you make that decision. Ask the right question. Is there a local church where I'm looking to move? Where I can be encouraged? Where I can carry out the commands of God in the assembly of the saints? Will my family be safe or influenced by evils around them? Lot ended up right in the city of Sodom, and he lost everything but his two daughters, costing deeply. Will it be safe for my family, or will it be a place of evil influence? Should I take this job? Well, what are some principles? Is it an honest job? Will I be working so many hours I neglect my family? When I've been given as the head of the house the responsibility to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the world, of the Lord, excuse me. All right, the third thing I thought of is seeking wise counsel. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. Proverbs 1 and verse 5. I would like to say as we start looking at this point, boy, we got to swallow a lot of pride to ask for help, to seek guidance. But when we're talking about the eternal well-being of our soul, sometimes we need to swallow our pride and seek help. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." For example, you got a rebellious teenager. What do you do? Will you go to a couple that has faithful children that have grown and seek their advice? I remember my dad doing it the opposite way. He went to a man that had done it wrong and asked him to tell and share with him what he did wrong. After he finally calmed down from being angry, he gave him an answer. At first, it infuriated him, but he realized my dad was asking an honest question. What happened? What can I do to not let that happen to Alan and Matt and Stacy and Mike and now John and Brian? You go to someone and seek wise advice. A lot of times what happens is we sit around with those of our peers and we commiserate about our rebellious teens and none of us have an answer. And yet, the Scriptures are full of counsel. Train up a child in the way he shall go. It talks about discipline. It talks about guidance. It talks about instruction. So the Word of God gives us a host of teaching. And I'm saying we also need to seek the advice of others. It's not weakness to seek advice to do the right thing. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, if you'll turn over there, Proverbs 12 and verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." There's nothing wrong in trying to get other people's thoughts. The key is wise counsel. You don't go to the fool. That's why I suggest we go to someone that has done it well. I've shared with you before that when I was much younger, my kids were much younger, when someone came to me and they're dealing with a teenager, I was like, you know, I can tell you what the Scriptures say, but think of someone in your realm that you know has done this well and talk to them. Use them as your to get wise counsel. I don't have really any experience in this. My kids are too little. I also would like to think there was some wisdom in my not just trying to fake it and give an answer. but seeing that I wasn't capable of giving wise advice. Instead of having my, I'm the preacher and I can tell you exactly what you need to do. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes that's not the right person to go to. Proverbs chapter 12, or 19, excuse me, in verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Wise counsel. And so the source of our counsel is important. Well, we have a great biblical example about this. Over in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 6, we have Rehoboam, Solomon's son. He's taking the kingdom. He seeks the advice of those that had sat with wise King Solomon, his father. And he wanted to know, what's your advice? The people are saying that they're being burdened too much. And what he is told when he consulted with them is, that lighten that load and they'll serve you the rest of your days, Solomon. And what strikes me about these men is these men advised Solomon, who God granted and gave that great wisdom. What does it say about those men and what they knew? You know, he rejected their advice in verse 8. And what he did in verse 8 is he consults the young men that he had grown up with, his peers. And they said, make it harder, make it harder. And they rebelled and there was division. And the kingdom torn. And that's why you have Israel to the north and Judah to the south, a divided Israel. Is that what God intended? That's not what God had in mind. But he sought foolish advice from the young people and did not heed the advice of those that were much wiser. When we need to make the right choice, a wise decision, we need to seek wise counsel. And then this last point is we need to learn from the past. The Bible contains a wealth of counsel, instruction. It's found in the Bible stories. It's found in those stories that we've read over and over again. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, this is Paul's point to the brethren in Rome. Listen to what he says to them in Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comforts of the Scriptures might have hope. Those stories are there for us to learn from. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, to the church at Corinth that was so divided, had so many troubles and problems, he says in verse 6, these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. You go back and look at how the Israelites behaved and you learn from it. He also says in verse 11, again, now all these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. They are there for us. These people were living it. God took that and said to us today, go back and look at this and learn. Are we blessed? We are very blessed to have once again the do's and don'ts by way of commands, by way of the examples and stories that we find. The way people behaved in the Bible is there to help us make a wise decision today. Teaching, instruction, guidance is found, for example, in the story of Herodias. You remember who Herodias is? She's the one whose daughter danced before the king and he took the head of John the Baptist for her. That story is there to learn from. It is there to understand that her lewd dance excited these men so much that he said, I'll give you half the kingdom. She said, I want John the Baptist's head. We learn about the pride of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, as he was so full of himself. And we look at how God humbled him. These great stories are there. We learn from the past mistakes of those around us. This is what is said over and over in this country. We've got to learn from our past. History History is not doomed. What's the saying? History is to repeat itself. I can't remember the word in between. Everybody's with me, though, on this saying that I can't remember. Because what it's saying is we have to learn from our past, correct? We have to learn from our past. Well, the choices and decisions I make in this life make up the ways and deeds that I will be judged by on Judgment Day. You see that? The decisions and choices I make is actually the deeds and the actions and the words and the things that I... That's what's brought to judgment. So it's easy to shove all these thoughts to the back of our mind, just push them out of the way. But this day is going to come, this day of judgment, and we have to be ready. The thing about Judgment Day is we don't know if it's today or not. Adam's counting on Heather coming home tomorrow. May not be the Lord's will. Our Savior may come. And we need to be ready. And what we have lived is what we have lived when we die. And that's what we take to judgment. We need to be ready. And so I would hope that the things that I've said have been an encouragement to you to slow down some time. Stop and think and don't just jump. When we jump, when we cast all these thoughts aside is when we fall. And sometimes when we fall, we've made a real mess of things. But we don't have to because we have the Word of God and we have the power of prayer. We have the example of others before us. We have so much and we are so blessed to be God's people and to have His Word to direct us and guide us. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. What would you do? How would you find the answer to what must I do to be saved? How do you answer that question? You have to turn to the Word of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you know the answer. You know that you need to come forward, turn from your sins, confess your belief in Christ, and go down into the waters of baptism and wash your sins away. We stand ready to help you. Maybe you're a child of God. Things are amiss or wrong in your life. Can we help you also as together we stand and sing?